Yes, Lord Jesus, you truly are the Son of God. We are here to glorify your name this morning, Lord. We're here to lift you up, Lord. We come to exalt you and honor you, Lord. We've come to tell you, Lord, how much we love you. How much we appreciate everything you've done in our lives, Lord. You're awesome, Lord, and magnificent. And we humbly come before you, Lord, to ask that you open up our hearts this morning, Lord. Open up our hearts to receive the truth. Father, I know that you have something very specific that you want to do with every single person that finds himself in this church today, Lord. Nobody is here by random chance. There are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. So I thank you, Father, that we can put aside our religious paradigms. Lord, if we've put you in a box, I pray that by your Holy Spirit today, you will just break open those boundaries, break open those rules that we've put you in, Lord. Father, you are the creator of all things. We cannot even begin to fathom who you are, except through the Holy Spirit, who shows us glimpses of your beauty and your grace and your love and your mercy and your holiness. So we thank you, Father. We thank you that we can come against the distractions of the week to come, Lord, of this very day. And just allow us to focus on what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Marcus, and the rest of the team, and the team at back in the sound desk and laptop. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back here. Some of you are probably asking yourself and you're saying, what do you mean back here? I haven't seen you before. Well, today there's kind of like a couple of circles that have come in a full loop. And the first one is this venue. Obviously, it's not new for you, but last time I was here, you were at the Hoop Centrum just down the stairs over there. And now I see you have the new venue. A lot of new faces. So welcome, everybody. And to those new visitors, we have been praying for you. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you. And the other full circle that's happened is I see old friends, old friends. I think I was probably about that high when I last saw you. I can't even remember when it was. So welcome, guys. Thank you so much. These are friends back from Zimbabwe days. And that explains a little bit about who I am. My name is Yanni Akavelos. And I'm probably the only Yanni in the Helderberg Basin that doesn't speak Afrikaans. So bear with me. The reason for that is I was born in Harare. And I've got a Greek family and I married a beautiful Greek wife. You saw on the Bible school promotion earlier, the beautiful brunette. It's Kat. She's looking after Franchuk this morning. She's preaching there while I'm here. And I'm really excited about today. The other part of the circle is, I'm not sure if many of you know, but I was involved with a lot of people to get this church started. 3 years ago, actually. Almost to the date. And I look around me and I just see incredible leaders. Incredible leaders in the church. I walked in here today and there were people just serving their hearts out. And I just want to honor you guys. I want to honor this church specifically. Because you are faithful. You're really, really faithful. And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to give you a compliment. This Somerset West Church has the heart of a servant. And I don't know if people thank you enough for it because you guys help out. I mean, you had SOS a couple of weeks ago. That's Save One Soul, School of the Supernatural. I think you had over 100 people. That's incredible. We only have 100 people in our church, in our tiny little Franchuk church on a Sunday. And this is like an additional course. I know you guys are faithful with your tithing. I know you're faithful with your time. And it's really a privilege and an honor to be sharing a word with you because I look out and I see so many people who could be up here instead of me. But the Lord has chosen me today. He's chosen me and He's anointed me and He's called me today to bring a message to you. And I'm really excited about that message. But I want to thank Theo too. Theo is the pastor of the church and we have Yaku, who has shared the announcements. I just want to thank you guys for the privilege of inviting me and the honor that it is to be here today. So thank you. So I was speaking to Johan and Deirdre earlier, and they said, what do you say to someone who's about to go up and preach? Do you say good luck? And I said, no, you can say, may the Lord use you. But I actually, while I was worshiping, I thought of something else, which was actually a much cleverer answer. I think maybe the Lord showed it to me. This morning, I hope you see Christ. I don't want you to see me here. I'm merely a representative of what Christ wants to do here today. So, I've been a pastor for 3 years, coming out of the leadership of this very church, and I want to encourage you guys. All you have to do in this church and the kingdom of God to be used is put up your hand. That's all you need to do. You have to be willing. I'm definitely not the most equipped person to go and pastor a church in Franschhoek, but I was willing. So I encourage you, for those of you who've been thinking about going into ministry, thinking about doing Bible school, thinking about doing the encounter series that we run, stop thinking about it and just do it. So 3 years I've been a pastor with my wife, Kat. And I'm just going to give you the best thing about being a pastor and the worst thing about being a pastor. The best thing about being a pastor is actually watching the hand of God work. You know, obviously standing as the pastor, I know what a lot of the church is praying for, what they're trusting God for, what they're standing in faith for. And it's such a privilege and such an honor to see God, almost like a game of Tetris. He comes and he drops these perfect pieces into the perfect gap. So that's really the most wonderful thing about being a pastor. See the Lord growing people, delivering them, setting them free, restoring marriages, healing broken hearts. It's incredible. What a privilege. The worst thing, you know, before you become a pastor, and maybe you've heard it said before, pray for your pastor. He's going to come under spiritual attack. And you're like, yeah. Spiritual attack, sure, yeah. Lord bless the pastor. And that's pretty much it. But let me tell you, I've got a tiny, God has got a tiny church that he's asked me to lead in Franschhoek. Small. We have 120 people on a Sunday and maybe 200 people in the church. And I come under incredible spiritual pressure. So I cannot even imagine what Theo comes under with a larger church like this. And I cannot even imagine what Fred and Lucille, our leadership in Stellenbosch, come under, and the apostolic team around them. There's 30 shofar churches worldwide, and we're planting all the time. So I'm going to ask for you to help me this morning. I want you to just turn in twos or threes and just bring our leadership before you and just to pray. Pray into leadership. So can we do that for a couple of minutes? Amen. Amen. So, out of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, what did they ask for? Have you ever thought about that? What did the disciples ask Jesus to teach them? Peter never went up to Jesus and said, hey, Rabbi, teach me that walking on the water trick that you do. Neither James nor John went up to Jesus and said, we're having a family, big family dinner tomorrow night, and I've got a fish here and a loaf here. Won't you help me multiply like you did on the hill the other day for the 5,000? Out of all the miracles that the disciples witnessed Jesus do with their own eyes, saw with their own eyes, they never asked him how to change water into wine, although that would have been a pretty cool party trick. They never asked him, Jesus, teach us to calm a storm, heal the sick, raise the dead. But the Bible records that Jesus going up, the disciples going up to Jesus one time, and someone said it over there. And they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So, before I go into the details of that, of what Jesus taught them that day, I just want to show you a few prayer statistics. So, they're up on the screen, and I'll read them out for you. It says, this is according to a U.S. survey. 84% of all people surveyed claim to have prayed in the past week. 96% of born-again Christians pray weekly. 64% of Christians say they pray once a day. 91% of all women pray occasionally, and 85% of all men pray at least occasionally. Now, I'm not sure what you're expecting, but that's a whole lot more prayer than I was expecting. But it begs a question. How effective is that prayer? In fact, let me rephrase that question and personalize it a little bit. How effective is your prayer? How effective is your prayer? Have you ever felt like your prayers bounce off the ceiling? Maybe that God doesn't hear your prayers, doesn't answer your prayers. Maybe that you're praying to a brick wall. Well, this morning's message is a very basic message. It's a very simple message because I believe the gospel should be easy. It's good news. It's good, not bad. And it's news. It should be fresh every day. Revelation fresh. And I know you have incredible pastors that come through this church. You have Theo and Yaku who preach here, bringing amazing words of God. You've got Henny Swat, the dean of our Bible school. He's here. He brings very meaty messages that you can chew on for a week. But today I'm going to trust the Lord. This is a simple message, and I'm not asking for the Lord to give you head knowledge. I'm asking for a spiritual impartation. This is what we're trusting for this morning by your Holy Spirit. This is what we've been praying for. Yes, I prayed for all of you before I came up here. Baron prayed with me in the intercession room. So, the title of my message is, It's a Matter of Focus. And now you can see the Greekness in my name, Yannis Akavalos. So, it's a matter of focus. We're going to study what Jesus says about how you and I can pray in such a way that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that God hears our prayers. Jesus begins by sharing the single greatest truth about prayer. And you need to understand this because this is the key that I want you to take away this morning. In fact, it's so key, I've got it up on the screen. And it says, the purpose of prayer is to focus on God and what He wants, not us, and what we want. Can I repeat that? The purpose of prayer is to focus on God and what He wants, not us, and what we want. That's why so many of us don't pray like we ought to. That's why so many people have actually given up on prayer. We have this idea that prayer is to get what we want. It's not. It's to get what God wants. Prayer is not all about you. It's all about Him. Until you realize that, it will be difficult to understand what Jesus is teaching in the Lord's Prayer. Now that's such a strange name, the Lord's Prayer, because it's not intended for the Lord, it's intended for disciples like you and me. Jesus wouldn't have to pray that prayer, but He modeled it for us. And the model is actually, He's trying to illustrate an approach to prayer. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. So remember the primary focus is to focus on God and what He wants, not on you and what you want. So where do we begin this focus? That's the question we ask ourselves. Where do we begin this focus? Now I'm going to share only two things that Jesus tells us to focus on this morning. There's more, but I'm going to share two because time is short and I know some of you have chickens in the oven. Okay, so the first one is we focus on the Father's worship. We focus on the Father's worship. Notice how Jesus starts his prayer. He does us a favor, because one of the toughest things in life is the first step to start things. So he shows us. He says, this is how you start prayer. This is how you get into it. So in Matthew 6:9, he says the following. Then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Notice immediately, your focus needs to be on God. You might think, sure, man, that's easy. Anyone can figure that out. But there's a reason why Jesus said that. The next time you pray, I want you to count how many times you use the first pronoun, the first person pronoun. Words like I, me, we, and us. In fact, go back to the last time you prayed. Maybe this morning, maybe last night. And how many times did you say something like this? Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, we ask for your favor for us. Lord, I want you to give me this. So Jesus is trying to give us a grammar lesson here. He's saying you need to change the pronoun in your prayer. And it is not primary first person, but it should be second person. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about him. This is important, as the more time you recognize who you're talking to, where he is, and what he wants, the less concern you're going to have about you and your needs and your desires. And the more confident it will make you in who you're praying with, praying to. When you put God in his proper perspective, creator of everything that we see and everything that we don't see, throne, reigning from throne. When you put God in his proper perspective, then you put your problems in their proper perspective. Tiny. Almost insignificant. If you think about it, Jesus is really telling us that there's only two people in this prayer. There's a father and there is a child. A father and a child. I need to point out what Jesus is saying today. And I'm going to be very, very honest with you. And I hope I don't offend anyone. And if I do, maybe it's the Lord convicting you. But if you want to pray in such a way that you know God hears you, and if you really want your prayers to be effective, you have to come to God like a child comes to their father. Well, you say, I can do that. Well, maybe you can, and maybe you can't. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to him, you're not one of his children. That's not what I say. John 1:12 says the following. But to all who believed him and accepted him, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. That is how you get into the family. That is how you get into a relationship with Christ, through faith in Christ. You cannot pray until you get onto praying ground. And you cannot get into praying ground unless you have Christ in your life, a follower of Christ. So, let's go back to the prayer. What is Jesus teaching his disciples? I want to put this into some historical context, because we didn't live 2,000 years ago in Middle East, biblical days. So cast your mind back there. Imagine the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. They're like, we want to hear this. In fact, we're going to take some notes. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Then Jesus says those first two words, Our Father. Like in this room, silence. You could have heard the grass growing. They were shocked. They were stunned. Absolutely stunned. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what Jesus just said? He wants us to call Yahweh Father. He wants us to call El Shaddai Father. He wants us to call Adonai Father. He wants us to call Jehovah Father. You have to understand that even the name Yahweh in Hebrew, they've taken out some of the letters so that you could not say the name of God. It was too holy. It was too holy for people to utter it with their mouths. And here comes Jesus and says, Our Father. And they're like, did we hear this guy correctly? Surely he must be joking. There's no ways he can say that. The reason why it stunned the crowd is because there's no evidence of anybody before Jesus referring to God as Father. You can look through the entire Old Testament. Look at some of the greatest men of God. Abram never called God Father directly. Moses never called God Father. David never called God Father. We can go through a list of them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Solomon never called God Father. In the entire Old Testament, nobody calls God Father until Jesus comes along. And he says, so you want to know how to pray? It's easy. Call him Father. If you are one of his children, you have the right to call him Father. Before Jesus called God Father, no Jew had ever used that term. No pagan, no Gentile had ever used that term. Yet you go to the four Gospels in the New Testament, and 167 times you see God referred to as Father. Jesus himself, you study his prayer life again in the four Gospels, and you will see that 60 times he refers to God as Father. Now I know some of you are very studious out here, and you're going to say, yes, but Father was used in the Old Testament. Yes, 16 times. But it was always as the Father of a nation, Father of Israel. Never a personal Father. But when Jesus uses the term Father, he uses an Aramaic word called Abba. And I'm sure some of you know what that means. Do you know what it means? Daddy. Papa. Talk about intimacy. Talk about an unbelievably close relationship with God. You can crawl up at his lap anytime, wrap your arms around him, and speak to him about anything. He's never too busy. He's never too busy for you. He's never bored. He delights in you doing it. That is the kind of relationship he desires to have with every single one of us in this room. He wants to be a father. He wants to be a daddy. He wants to be a papa to a child. Jesus was saying, you will never understand prayer. You will never get into prayer. And prayer will never be a big part of your life until you understand it's like a child talking to their father. And he's not just a personal father. He's a powerful father. Because Jesus goes on in the prayer and he says, Our Father. Then he adds two words that many people think are redundant. In heaven. Some of you are thinking, why does he add in heaven? Surely it's quite obvious. Everybody knows God's in heaven. But Jesus is saying, I want you to make this part of your prayer to remind yourself who you're talking to. When you go to him, it's not the big man upstairs. It's the creator of the universe who sits on the throne. He knows all things. He sees all things. He controls all things. And in time, he will make every injustice on this earth right. So Jesus adds the next four words in this prayer. Hallowed be your name. To hallow someone's name really means to honor and give respect. To honor and give respect. So Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. First you focus on the Father's worship. Not your needs, his worship. So we say, our Father, you are in heaven, you are in control. Listen carefully, my brothers and sisters. When we go and pray, it's to honor God, not us. It's to bless God, not you and me. It's to glorify His holy name, not ours. So that's number one. Jesus says we are to focus on the Father's worship. Number two, we are to focus on the Father's will. What comes next in the Lord's Prayer ought to be in the Lord's Prayer. It's perfect. Think about this. If God is the Father and we are His children, if He lives in heaven and we live on earth, if we are here to honor Him and He is not here to honor us, then we should focus on not only who He is, or where He lives, but on to focus on what He wants. Focus on what God wants. So here is what Jesus said, verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this part of the prayer has two verbs and two nouns. The two nouns are kingdom and will. The verbs are come and done. A kingdom is a place where the king rules and the king reigns. So when you ask God for His kingdom to come, please comprehend what you are asking Him to do. You're saying to the Lord, I understand there's a throne in my heart. I understand that there's a throne in my heart and that somebody is going to sit on that throne. I understand that someone on that throne is going to call the shots in my life. So when you say, I want your kingdom to come, you are saying, I'm abdicating off the throne of my heart. I'm getting off. I'm getting off. I want you to sit on the throne of my heart. I want you to be president of my life, not just resident in my life. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done, both in my heart and in my life. Now, I know you've all said this prayer. Many of you could recite this prayer off by heart. And you're saying, sure, your kingdom come, your will be done, let's get on with it. This is the hardest part of prayer. This is the most difficult part of praying. What do I mean? This is the part of prayer that is the point of prayer. It's the purpose of prayer. It's the priority of all prayer. The priority is not to get God what you want Him to do, but to get Him to do what He wants you to do. Not to get what you want out of God, but to get what God wants out of your life. This is the hardest part of prayer, my brothers and sisters, to come to God and say, I'm taking all my plans, all my ambitions, all my desires, everything I want, and I'm surrendering it before you. Because I tell you what I want. I tell you what I want, Father God. I want what you want. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I want what you want. You cannot go any further with God. You cannot go any deeper in a relationship with God. You cannot go any more for God until you understand this principle of surrender. Surrendering that issue in your life. So before we get to your wants and your desires and your agendas, you have to go to God and say, what is your will? What is your will? Now, my brothers and sisters, you're staring at me all knowingly like, yes, good one, amen. This is not easy to do. This is really, really not easy to do. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus struggled with this. Jesus struggled with this. Every time Jesus went to pray to His Father, it fired on all cylinders. It flowed. It was awesome. Except one time. When was that? Garden of Gethsemane. What was He struggling with? The will of God. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and for the first time He's struggling in prayer. And He's just being honest when He says, Father, I don't want to do this. I know You don't, my son. Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I know you don't, my boy. Father, I do not want to be separated from you, not even for one second. I know you don't, my boy. Father, I've had perfect fellowship with you for all eternity. I don't want to be separated from you for one minute. I don't even want to experience what people are going to feel in hell one day when they're separated from you. I don't want to experience that. I know you don't, my son. The Bible tells us that it took everything in Jesus. He sweated blood over this. Literally, that's a physical thing. Go look it up in a medical journal. That is intense stress on someone when they sweat blood. Jesus sweated blood over this. It took him everything to say, okay, Dad, not my will, but yours to be done. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want a real challenge in your life, start praying on a daily basis like you mean it. Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. It's the most difficult part of prayer. It was for Jesus. It's going to be for you. We get into trouble in our lives and we mess things up when we don't pray that prayer. It does not matter exactly how the words come out of your mouth, but it's the motivation of your heart. So when you come to God and say, I don't care what you want. I'm going to do what I want. That is when you lose your virginity to your boyfriend. That's when your marriage breaks down. That's when you start cheating on your business partners. That's when you start getting involved in pornography. That's when you find yourself addicted to drugs and alcohol. How many people would not be in jail today? How many homes would not be shattered today? How many hearts would not be broken today? If at a key moment, someone just said, hang on, hold the horses, wait one moment, not my will, but your will be done. The best prayer that you can pray for anybody, in any situation, wherever you may be, and if you don't know what to pray, you say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. You have to understand that God sees the full spectrum of time. He sees from the beginning to the end. He sits outside of time. And sometimes when you don't get an answer to prayer, maybe that's a no. No, that's not good for you, my child. For those of you with children, you cannot give your children everything they want and ask for. You'll just have a spoiled brat at the end of the day. God is here to invest in our characters. He wants to see us grow. So the will of God is always the right thing to pray, and it's always the best thing to pray. It gets better. When you finally get to the point in your heart when you can say to the Lord, Lord, take everything that I am. Take everything that I own. Take everything that I have. I'm going to surrender every part of it to you, God. When you start to do that, when you really start to do that, you will see two changes happen in your life. First of all, you will change your heart. You will change. The second thing is your prayer life will start to change. It'll put a new energy, a new power, a new vigor and connectivity in your prayer that you've never had before. So as I said this morning, I just wanted to share with you some very simple stuff because I believe this is what God wants you to hear. And my father actually sent me a clip not so long ago, which I'd like to share with you. So we're going to play it on the screen. It's about 2 minutes long. And I just want you to understand the heart behind this. Change your words. Change your world. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I ask you to shut your eyes and just bow your heads as we just have a moment with the Lord. Abba Father, Daddy, Papa, you reign from your throne above heaven. We come to you in prayer this morning. in such a way that we know you hear us. Help us to truly understand, Lord, that you want our worship. Help us, Daddy, to change our words so that we can change our focus and in turn change our lives and change our world and those around us. We don't want to come to you with a prayer list, Lord. Father, you know what's on the prayer list. You know all things. In fact, some of the things on our prayer list, Lord, you have placed there. You've laid on our hearts, and we never even knew it. Papa, help us to refocus. We want to focus on who you are. You are our Father. We want to focus on where you are. You are in heaven. We want to focus on what you want, which is your will to be done in our lives. Lord, we'll never experience the power and the joy of prayer until we come to you as a child talks to their father. And I know that there are people here this morning who didn't have good relationships with their own fathers, their earthly father growing up. Maybe he ignored you. Maybe he beat you. Maybe he spoke negatively over your life every day, told you weren't good enough, that you would never amount to anything. But I want to tell you today, that is not how God sees you. That is not how Father God in heaven sees you. Lord, I know that there's people struggling to come to you as a child because they don't know what it's like to have a loving father who loves them unconditionally. It does not matter what we say or what we don't say, what we do or what we don't do. You love us. A supernatural love that our human minds cannot fathom unconditionally. Yes, Lord, we have to walk the consequences of our choices every day. But your love never runs out. So if there's anybody here today that is struggling to connect with their father in an intimate, personal way, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Just to raise your hand. Be brave, be bold. God wants you. God wants you to come to him as a child. He wants to come and show you how much he loves you. I'm going to ask you to come up. I know it's very bold and very brave. I'm going to ask you just to come up. As people who put up their hands, please don't be shy. God really wants to do a work in your life. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you are amongst us right now, Lord. You are working across these people, Lord. Lord, I'm not trying to force anyone to do anything, but I know, I feel it in my heart that there's people here who struggle to see you as a loving father, who struggle to see you as somebody who cares, who's so patient, whose heart is always open, whose arms are always open, and that you delight in it, Lord. You're not bored with us. You always have time. And it does not matter how trivial things are. You want to know everything about us. So I thank you for your boldness to come up this morning. I believe there's some people who aren't bold enough. And I'm going to ask, before we minister to these people in the front, I'm going to ask you just to repeat the prayer after me. Lord Jesus. Let's try again. Lord Jesus. The next time I come to that secret place of prayer, I'm not going to talk about yesterday. It's gone. I'm not going to talk about tomorrow. It's not here. I'm going to talk to you just for today, Lord. I am 100% yours. I'm 100% present. Thank you that I have the ability in every circumstance, at any place, at any time, to speak to you, knowing that every time I call on my Father, you are not too busy for me. You are not upset that I want to speak to you. You are not bored with our conversation, because you love me and you want to talk to me and you want to spend time with me, just like any father who wants to spend time with the child that he loves. Almost done. Lord Jesus, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life and in my heart. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.